Hello listeners and welcome to this special episode of Sportspiel. As you may have noticed, Alistair is not here this week as he's off gallivanting around Scotland and Canada, but fear not, for we have one hell of an interview for you. Regular listeners may remember me promising to bring you a real corker of a guest, and I'm delighted to say that we are sharing this with you today. A few months ago, we were thrilled when Great Britain trampolinist Laura Gallagher contacted us asking if she could get involved with the podcast, and seeing as we haven't had someone from that sport on the show before, we thought what a great way to start our working relationship by welcoming her on as a special guest. However, little did I expect what she was about to tell us. We've been lucky to have some incredibly powerful and inspirational guests on the show, and Laura is certainly one of those. My words cannot do justice to the incredible tale she is about to tell, but what I can say is that it was an absolute privilege and honour to be able to listen to and share her story. So make sure you're fully tuned into this episode, because it really is one you won't want to miss. So welcome back, listeners, to another Sportspiel feature interview, where today we are very, very lucky to be joined by six-time world trampoline medalist Laura Gallagher. So first of all, Laura, welcome to the show and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for asking me to come on the show.
Well, so this is an interview Alistair and I have been very excited about for a little while now, because Laura, you actually contacted us asking how you could get involved. So, you know, we're really grateful for that, and we've got loads of exciting plans in the pipeline that we'd love you to get involved in. But, you know, first of all, while you're here, we thought we might as well just do a feature interview with you, because you've got a really, really cool story, a really interesting story to tell. And to be honest, there's so many areas in which we could start. But I guess seeing as we're recording in December, it's the end of 2018. I thought I'd ask you how your year has been. It certainly looked hectic, you know, with camps, World and British Championships, World Cup events. And I think you had a wedding in there as well somewhere.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a crazy year. I got married in March, which was a really amazing weekend. You know, it was just so nice to spend the whole weekend with, you know, friends and family. Unfortunately, a couple of weeks after my wedding, I got injured. It wasn't anything new. It was unfortunately just a flare-up of an old injury. But that meant missing the European Championships, which was obviously a bit of a disappointment. But luckily, it wasn't one of my longer rehab stints. And I came back to the World Cup in Japan in July. And then, thank you, it's just been a bit of a full-on year. So yeah, like you say, I had the British Championships in September, where I finished third. I wasn't massively happy with my performances that weekend, but it was sort of a, you know, getting back out there and getting going on the competition floor again. And from there, I went to the World Cup in Lule, where I won my first individual World Cup medal. It was, yeah, just pretty good feeling. Again, I wasn't massively pleased with how well I performed, but it's like that sometimes, where you don't necessarily perform the best, but it's enough to get on the podium. So, and obviously, that's the thing I'll remember when I look back at that event. So, yeah, and I learnt a lot going into the World Championships, which unfortunately didn't go to plan for me. But I'm looking ahead to 2019 and hopefully a smoother year, and Olympic qualification, of course.
Of course. So a very, very important year for you. But I just want to go back to 2017. So you mentioned this year you picked up the bronze at the British Championships this year, and then last year you won the title for the first time ever, and that came after a bit of a break from the sport. So, you know, how much did that victory mean to you at that time?
Oh yeah, that was incredible. I've had a really sort of tough few years actually, with injury and probably I was struggling mentally quite badly. And in 2016, it all sort of came to a bit of a head, and I just knew that I had to take some time out of the sport. After sort of failing to come back successfully from an injury I sustained in 2014, actually, I just had a series of bad performances, which you know, which really knocked my confidence, and I couldn't really nail it on the floor. And obviously, it was all in the build up to the game, Rio, and you know, it just really knocked my confidence. And I felt a bit lost and was just really struggling. And I knew that I would be coming off funding because I wasn't getting the results. So I got a full-time job. I started off part-time with the intention of going full-time once the funding stopped, but tried my hardest to sort of try and break through the cycle and maybe get a good competition, you know, good competition under me. But my sort of last chance blew up at the European trials. And after that, I just sort of really struggled to deal with the situation I was in. I just felt really awful, really. So I took some time out of the sport, and I was working in a school full time. And I was just struggling to sort of function sort of normally, if you like. I thought I was outwardly quite okay, but I knew that I was obviously struggling inside. And the whole time, obviously, I've been studying as well. It's just, I think I tried to battle on for a little bit in training, but just knew that I needed to take some time out. And I carried on working, and I think I thought that I was sort of dealing with things outwardly to, you know, to people. I didn't really know how to talk about it or how I was feeling, or really, I didn't really know what was going on. But I think it was my boss at work just said to me, you know, a bit worried. And I felt quite emotional a lot of the time. It was a really strange place to be in. And I think it was more that I just felt like a failure. Everything I didn't think that's unusual or uncommon. Well, it's definitely not uncommon, but I think it became so extreme. So I think I'd failed at what I'd been trying to do. Not only had I not achieved what I wanted, I just didn't feel able to do anything. I think I felt like I'd lost the ability to sort of do anything. I think it's quite funny, really. I was on holiday with my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband. and we were playing table tennis, and I got really upset because he won the game. This is so embarrassing. But he won the game, and I got really upset, and I hit the ball, and I sort of walked off. And it was just then I realised that I needed to do something about it, and things had got a bit, you know, out of hand. I just didn't feel like I could do anything. That upset me, because when I was younger, I used to play table tennis at quite a high level, and I used to, you know, it was something that I thought I was good at, and suddenly everything that I thought I was good at, I wasn't any good at all, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It sounds ridiculous, it's something really, you know, so small, but it was affecting me in all areas of my life, like that that sort of feeling that I hadn't achieved, and that sort of affected me in everything that I was doing, and I didn't really know how to get through it, really, or who to talk to. Matt, my husband, was amazing, but he was struggling to understand why I was, you know that behaviour, you know, getting so upset over a table tennis match. It wasn't about the table tennis match, it was about just how I was feeling, and I was feeling useless about everything. And I don't think, you know, it was hard for him to understand how, like, why, and what he could do to help, or anything. You know, I was trying to be myself and, you know, be fun to be around. Normally I'm a very happy and quite bubbly person, but things were just awful at the time. I didn't want to go to sleep. I couldn't sleep. I wasn't sleeping at all because I didn't want to wake up the next day and sort of go through it all again, because I wasn't doing what I wanted to do or achieving what I wanted to achieve, and I just felt a bit lost. I didn't really know how to get back on track. So I think it was in the process of applying for a new job and trying to move my life on forward, you know, forwards And I actually had no intention of going back into sport at this point. I think I'd had, out of the 4 years between London and Rio, I'd had spent 2 years completely off the trampoline injured. And then on top of that, more time in rehab, you know, and trying my hardest to get fit. And that's a lot of effort, a lot of energy. But I think in that time, I don't think I had accepted what had happened to me. I think I never felt sorry for myself, but I don't think that I maybe let go of the injuries or let go of feeling like everyone else hasn't experienced that. Even though other people do experience things like that, I just felt, oh, this is, oh, here we go again, or why me? And like I said, I didn't feel sorry for myself. I always picked myself up and I put 100% into everything I was doing, but it just didn't work out at that time. And like I said, I don't think I let go of that. So I think it was in going through the application process and writing down a, you know, CV and going to an interview. And that's where I met my boss, Anne, Anne Balderstone Downs. She was a big part of me getting back to me. I think at that interview, I sort of really connected with Anne. She sort of, and in talking about, you know, in an interview, you sort of have to sell yourself, don't you? You talk about your strengths and why you'd be good for that job. And I think I realised, actually, you know, I've done this, I've done that, I've got this experience, and I, you know, I'm not totally useless. And I think just gradually that sort of really, really helped remind me who I was. I began working for Five Rivers. We were working with young people, just trying to re-engage them back into education. So I was, you know, that felt feeling like I had a role and that maybe I could help other people. It was quite funny. I used to play hockey at school, and Anne was a massive hockey fan, is a massive hockey fan, and she, first day of my job there, she said to me, "What are you doing on Saturday? Can you play hockey?" So I was like, "Well, yeah, I can do that." And I just started playing for Taunton Vale just before, and I loved it. I was just like, you know, loving playing, learning, almost like winning, learning how to win and lose again without it meaning anything, or, you know, meaning so much, just the only thing is enjoyment. And that sort of got me back on enjoying sport, and I just gradually got, you know, started to feel more and more like me again, and, you know, like I'm just coming through, but also learning a lot about myself in the process. And then I had a conversation with Tracy, the national coach, and we gradually, and she really helped me get back into trampolining. I didn't want to leave the sport how I felt, really. I felt like I still had everything, you know, to offer, but I actually, most importantly, just wanted to answer some questions that I had for myself. And again, just with the newly found sort of drive for just pure enjoyment from the hockey and everything I was doing, I went in and just sort of had trampolining as my hobby again. It was something I did after work and before work, you know. And then I competed in my the first competition back in, it was in Japan actually. It was just a Kawasaki Cup. And I won a bronze medal there. And from there, I just sort of, really, really small baby steps, you know, I was doing less difficulty and just enjoying it, enjoying myself, enjoying the training, getting my fitness back. And yeah, and I won the British Championships that year. So I came back for that competition in the December, and then, you know, a few months later, I went to France and won the French Masters. And then a couple of months after that, won the British Championships. And then after that, I got a PB at the Spain World Cup, and I had every intention of retiring at the World Championships last year, actually, because I didn't know where the journey was going to take me, and I hadn't really thought past that, but I just wanted to enjoy it again and feel good about the sport that I'd done for so many years. And yeah, and here I am, still training, still loving it. And had another. Yes, it's been a bit of a full year, but I've made lots of gains and lots of progress, and I'm looking forward to 2019.
I mean, that is truly remarkable. I mean, listening to that was, for me, to hear that whole story was something really special. And I've got so many questions on the back of that. So I guess it's something you touched on before. How is your mindset then changed compared to where you were sort of when you were taking part in trampoline earlier on in your career, and how do you see it differently now, if that makes sense?
There's loads of different feelings I have about that sort of how to answer that question, but I think the most important one is that I lost my way. I lost complete perspective on my life, what's important, what's really important in your life, in my life, in that gradual sort of, I think when everything is pinned so highly on your rewards that you're getting back from sport are so high when that sport becomes the biggest part of your life. You know, so I, at that point, for 2 years, I wasn't working, or 18 months, I think. I tried to work part-time around training, but at those 18 months, I couldn't work, you know, because we were away so much, and I didn't really understand that, and I enjoyed working and everything, you know. But it was also a choice, and I wanted to do that. So 18 months, you know, that was the most important thing, and that was my only thing. Obviously, I was studying and I was training, but both of those things are me, they're inside me, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm not sharing myself, and I'm not giving anything, and I'm inside my own head a lot. And I think when you're not getting the rewards that you're putting the effort, you know, for everything you're putting the effort in and the results, you're not getting that feeling of reward or anything back. It's kind of just the daily grind without anything at the end of it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I think, like I said, I've lost complete perspective on what's important in my life and what I wanted from it, and I only saw, and as I said earlier, I think I didn't really deal or let go of the injuries and the difficult times. And I was just always so hard on myself, to be honest. And I never really gave myself credit for any of the little things that I did in between. Like, in between those injuries, I won major championship medals, you know, individually and with the team. So I never gave myself credit for that. I only sort of was thinking about the injury periods that I'd had off and forgetting the good stuff that had happened and the good stuff I was doing, and actually that after sport I've got to live too, and sort of remembering that I need to keep myself healthy and maybe, you know, do things that are going to help when I leave the sport, because I will at some point. And I think it was just then when it happened, I hadn't really, that wasn't on my terms either. So I didn't want to finish the sport like that, obviously. And I don't think, it's a funny answer, I don't think a lot of people do want to leave. You know, when they do actually come to leave their sport or take a break or whatever, it's because something's happened often. It's not often because they've chosen to do that.
Mm-hmm. And you talk,
yeah, I think,
sorry.
No, carry on.
I was going to say, you talk about there about how you lost perspective, and you mentioned earlier the work you've done with Five Rivers during your break off away from the sport, and that sounded like a role, you know, where you're dealing and you're helping children who've been through very, very traumatic experiences. Was that something that really helped you sort of give you back perspective as well? Did that play quite a big part?
Yes, massively. You know, reading some of the things I read and working with these amazing young people and just trying to help get them back on track in their lives. And that to me was, you know, that was, they inspired me and helped me without realising it. I know I never spoke to them about me or anything, but I could share aspects of my training, as in, you know, maybe some experiences I could relate to them with when we were, you know, in talking and helping them get through a challenge. but yeah, it was definitely a great experience that I had. Was I was with them for 2 years, five of us, and I think it was the team I was working with as well. I sort of grew at the same time with the children, and that helped me in my sport when I came back. I think I had a new perspective that if things didn't go to plan or go as how I wanted, or if I didn't come back and do it, it went back to basics. I went back to the sport because I enjoyed doing it, and I always remember that as my main reason. I'm doing this because I want to do this, I'm enjoying it, and it doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to give it 100%, and that's all I can ask of myself. And I think knowing that as my base for, I can only grow from here. And I know that after, I think because I sort of almost went through that transition, I kind of feel like I don't have anything to fear. Now I know that I'll be okay after sport, if that makes sense. Because I've done lots of things and I've learned a lot through my sport. My sport's given me so much. It's been, you know, sport gives you the biggest life lessons, bigger than many jobs. I can't think of any other job that gives you, you know, because you're putting everything into it, you're mentally and physically. And I think that I feel a lot clearer now. I feel like I have let go of, you know, everything that's happened before me, and I feel much more committed as a whole person, not just on the physical aspects, but mentally. I feel much more committed to putting myself out there and not being afraid to fail. Because you can't really fail if you're trying to do something, and if you don't try, then you're not going to get it anyway. So I feel much more whole and not in two parts, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I guess tying in with that as well, I remember when you messaged us, you saying you're currently completing a BSc in psychology, and how much has that, you know, made an impact and sort of helped you with understanding with where your head's at and the mental struggles you've been having?
I wouldn't say that's played a massive part, actually. I mean, in my studying, you do a lot of theory, you're looking at theories, and yes, some of it has really connected, especially when, you know, some of the sport modules where I can really, that's so, you know, I'm reading it and thinking, oh, okay, that's what, you know, when I felt like that, oh, that's really, really helped. But I wouldn't say that, I think, yes, I understand a lot more maybe about why I might feel in certain ways, but for me, it's more, it's almost separate, if that makes sense. I do use it, and like I say, with the sport modules, I've really connected with those, and the child development stuff, that's really helped. But I don't know, it almost feels a little bit separate to my experiences, if that makes sense. I sort of, yeah.
No, that's fair enough. And then, yeah. I hope you don't mind, but I wanted to bring it back to the injury, and I guess I wanted to ask, so I can't remember if we've discussed this or not when we were emailing each other, but I'm a cheerleader.
Okay.
So that's one of my main sports, and I had quite a nasty injury while competing in January 2016, and I didn't get back for various reasons. Didn't get back competing until July 2018, and when I was preparing for that, I got very, very nervous and was quite fearful that the injury would happen again. Obviously, with what you do with trampolining, again, is an element of danger, quite a big element of danger, same as cheerleading. Did you have, was there sort of one experience that you really feared with the injury, or was it just the combination of so many years of injuries or bringing up and spending so much time away from the sport that really sort of set you back?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, if I'm honest. The long period that I spent out with the back injury was because I sort of bailed out of a move, which is normally due to a lack of concentration or you know, confusion. For me, in that time, I was a bit tired and I just lost my concentration and injured my back as a result. But I think it was I would probably weight it more on the long I spent out of the sport, rather than being fearful of doing anything again. That said, I do occasionally. I haven't actually met anyone that hasn't experienced some form of fear with moves. And you're right. It is quite a crazy sport sometimes if you actually sit down and think about what you're doing, which is jumping so high on a trampoline bed. It's not exactly the most natural thing to do. But I haven't met anyone that hasn't experienced some kind of fear or skill confusion in our sport, and I've certainly been through that and spent a long period out with that too. But yes, I feel better in myself. You don't feel those things as much. But it does make you a bit more aware, and that's not a bad thing, of what you're doing. You know, it's good to be a little bit nervous, because it shows that you're taking it seriously and that you should be paying full attention to what you're doing. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And you mentioned there when you sit down and actually think about what you're doing. It's quite incredible sport, trampolining, but it's not one that we as a nation massively knew much about, I guess, until Rio 2016, when obviously your teammate Bryony Page went and won that medal. And I wanted to ask you, sort of, has the sport changed, and how has it changed in terms of media interest and participation levels since that very famous Rio day, where not just, you know, wasn't just Bryony winning the silver medal, but also her and Kat Driscoll making the Olympic final for the first time.
Yeah, it's grown hugely since that moment. Obviously, what Bryony, Kat and Nathan did at the Olympics was incredible for us, and to win an Olympic medal was just brilliant for the whole programme. And I think it raised the profile of our sport, and obviously Bryony's lovely reaction, which I when she did win the medal. And I think it just showcased our sport in such a good light. I think people saw that it wasn't, you know, there's more to it. Because often you get the question, oh, I can do a front summit, can you do a back summit, or they relate to it as in, you know, when you talk about cycling and swimming and running, people can relate to those things because they often participate in them, but they might not have jumped on a trampoline. And I think when they think of trampolining, they might think of a garden trampoline, or not the trampolines that you jump really high on, like do triple somersaults, multiple twisting somersaults. And the sport has grown hugely, and we have some great youngsters coming up in our sport. And the media coverage has got bigger with it, which has been great for the sport too. You know, we had the World Championships semis and finals on the BBC Red Button last year and this year, and it was also streamed online for the British Championships. So those things are just brilliant, and I think it's given people much more choice in sport. It's you know, going outside of the mainstream sports, I think it's just can only be a good thing, because you know, there's a sport for everyone.
And actually getting into the sport of trampolining as well, is it quite a difficult one to get into, in terms of, you know, you work very closely alongside the artistic and rhythmic gymnastics guys, especially the artistic ones. Do you ever find that some of your best athletes are getting poached, or more are being encouraged to take on that other sport, or is it not like that?
No, I think yes, there is a crossover. I think there's a lot of interest. It goes sort of hand in hand. A lot of artistic gyms have trampolines there too. But there are lots of sport-specific specialist setups now for trampolining, and I think a lot of people are coming in for trampolining, and not because they were doing gymnastics or because they saw gymnastics and saw trampolining because they saw gymnastics before. But I think trampolining's become a bigger thing in its own right, and people are starting to participate in it because they just like trampolining. I don't know. I think we do get a lot of gymnasts come over from artistic. I don't know so much about rhythmic or anything like that, but Yes, we do. It's a good link. A lot of the attributes are similar, but that's a good thing.
And for you, when you were growing up, you've already mentioned how you sounded like a very good table tennis player. You played hockey. What was it that made you, you know, want to stick with trampolining and think, you know, I can make a career out of this. I'm really good. Was there one moment in particular, or was it just like gradual sort of love for the sport?
Of all the sports I did at the time, I was probably worst at trampolining. But I just enjoyed it the most. I love that feeling of being really high in the air. Some of the moves just where you really do feel like you're sort of flying around. And it is kind of that wow factor. You feel really good doing it, and I've just really enjoyed it. And you just don't stop learning. There's always, every single session that you do, there's something, even if it's something really basic, you're just always learning. And that adrenaline rush when you compete as well, it's the whole thing.
Yeah, and certainly, and I guess sort of we're looking forward. You said 2018, some of your performances you haven't been necessarily as happy with as you would have liked, but you've still picked up medals on the World Cup stage and the British Championship stage. So going forward to 2019 and 2020, what are you hoping for, and what are you most looking forward to?
I'm most looking forward to going through this process, but being in a better headspace in the process, if that makes sense, and just being able to enjoy it. You know, we've got a really strong team, really experienced team, and our national coach is a very experienced leader and successful leader. And obviously within that, we've got our personal coach that's driven us up through the sport as well. I'm just really excited to get the opportunity to go through the year and hopefully be a big part of the Olympic qualification process, and just see where it takes me.
Of course, and we wish you all the best of luck for that. It's been an absolute privilege having you on. I know a lot of people who listen to our show will be able to sort of understand and resonate with how you're feeling, because we do a lot of mental health stuff and we always get really good reactions to that. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. It's been a genuine pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Our sincerest thanks once again to Laura for coming on the podcast, sharing her story and getting across so many important messages. It is genuinely fantastic to see how she's managed to overcome such hardship, and I know personally that I took a lot away from chatting to her in terms of how I'm going to be looking after my own mental health in the future. As I said at the start, we're hoping to have Laura back involved with the podcast again at some point in the future, but first of all, she has the small matter of a university degree to finish. In the meantime, we wish her all the best for that and for her continued bid to try and qualify for Tokyo 2020, and we will be giving her our full support.